Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. You guys have really made me feel welcome. So I haven't met all of you yet, but I would like to thank Pastor Steve for contacting me to come here. And he had seen the video that Andrew Womack played, and I was excited because anytime I get to, you know, brag on Jesus, I like to do that. And so anyway, I was asking the Lord, you know, today about, I always ask Him, you know, about where I'm going and that kind of thing. And I just felt like He said that He wanted to bring the atmosphere of heaven, the fun and the joy of heaven here tonight. Because the kingdom of heaven is joy. And so any heaviness that you're feeling right now, I just believe that is, it's already gone in the spirit, but it's going to leave you. In Jesus' name. And, you know, it's funny, right after the Lord told me that about just it would be fun and that kind of thing, and we were talking about how fun it is to see people receiving the healing that's already theirs, I went to go get a coffee through the drive-thru, and the girl said, "So you doing anything fun tonight?" And I said, "Yes, I am. I'm speaking at a church tonight, a couple hours away." And she looked at me all shocked, like the church and fun, wow, those two don't go together. So I just pray that she encounters the true nature of God, because He is a fun God. He loves to have fun and laugh. And we were talking together about, you know what brings Him so much fun? Is seeing people walk in their inheritance. So I believe that we're just going to have fun tonight. We're going to talk about some deep things. But the fun thing is finding that freedom that is ours. And I bought this. It's my first time using it, but not my last time. But just as an illustration that I didn't know how I was going to do it. Anyway, many Christians are walking around like this, you know, whether the chain is on their hearts, I think it's usually on the heart, or wherever it is. But, you know, when Jesus died and went through the cross and we died with Him and rose to new life, and when He resurrected from the dead, this is what happened. Our chains are already broken. They're already gone. And so, but, and I just want to say here that if there's any chain that you feel that is preventing you from receiving what's already yours in Christ, I just declare and decree that that is going to be completely gone. The veil in your eyes, it's going to be removed, and you're going to be set free. Because in Isaiah 61, 1 through 7, it says, "The Spirit of God is on me because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the heartbroken." If you feel like you have a broken heart tonight, I believe Holy Spirit is going deep to heal that heart. "Announce freedom to all captives. Pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of His grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn." He's going to comfort you in a deep way. "To care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes. messages of joy instead of news of doom. We're hearing a lot about the news of doom, aren't we? But we are from another kingdom. A praising heart instead of a languid spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness planted by God to display his glory. So I just believe that is what God is going to do. And I like to throw in a little bit of humor here and there because I like to have fun too. But I found out the memo for the worship team today was black, blue, and white. So God is in every detail. This was meant to happen tonight. It's interesting. I was listening to the Christian radio station on my way here, and I heard that song, Your Great Name. And I just remember saying to the Lord, I have not heard that song in so long. I need to, like, download that song. And then we play it tonight. My favorite number is 22. My book over there we'll talk about later is 122, Love Letters from the Throne of Grace. My hotel room is 221. God just uses the 22 number. So I'm just saying, he is in every detail of our lives. I mean, we have a relational God. So I'm really excited. But I wanted to tell you that I know what it's like to feel like I don't want to live anymore. I know what it's like to go to the psych wards. I know what it's like to just feel heaviness. I know what it's like to have that fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of man. But I also know what it's like to be on the other side of freedom. And that's what I want to share with you today. And I just believe that we're all going to walk out of here different, including myself, because you know what? I feel like I'm getting freer and freer every day because it's a process of renewing the mind. But, you know, I believe the biggest revelation that we could ever have is knowing God's love for us, but believing in that love and experiencing that love and the safety of our Father and believing everything the Word says about us as a child of God. Ephesians 3:17-19 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. So I believe our purpose and journey in life is to come and know and experience God's love and share it with others. And Pastor Steve was talking about changing the world with the supernatural power of God. And I believe that's all motivated by love. And people need to encounter love in order to be free. So I believe it brings the Father great joy when we come to know and experience his love and we share it with others and we live loved. And, you know, I want to say this, too, before I get started into my testimony. God is, he's love, and I just believe he's so full of love that he had to share it with us. And ultimately, we are his children. We were created to be his children so that he could love on us. And I just think that is so powerful. And we have to know that we are his beloved children. And we have a daddy. And I posted on Facebook today, and this is my story of getting to know the true nature of God, getting to know my heavenly daddy. There's intimacy in that word daddy, papa, abba, whatever you choose. There's security in that word. There's a childlike dependence of knowing that we can't live this life on our own. So we depend on his spirit in us. And so I just wanted to say that it's imperative that we know that we are ultimately his children. And Brennan Manning has this quote, "Define yourself radically as one beloved by God. This is the true self. Every other identity is illusion." And so I believe that when you understand that you are deeply loved, and I understand that this church, a lot of churches I go into, they don't talk about a lot of this, and I understand that you guys are, you know, rooted in talking about this. But honestly, I need to be reminded daily how much God loves me, because out there, everything, you know, sometimes this world is pretty scary. There's so many wounded, hurting people out there, and there's things that, you know, go against us, but we need to be reminded daily of how much God loves us. And I believe he speaks that continually to our spirits. But it is a process and a journey of knowing that love in a deeper way. And whatever revelation we have in this room of knowing the love and goodness of God, if you multiply that by 10 billion, it still doesn't even compare to how good God is. And we will spend an eternity getting to know his love. But as I get into my story, you know, why is it important to know and experience his love? 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's perfection." So I believe that we are constantly growing in that knowledge of his love, and the biggest tactic of the enemy, I believe, is fear in our lives. So there's a couple of common themes in my story. One is talking about God's love, which I believe expels fear. And two is another aspect of God that I have come to know that we all need to know in a deep way, and I'm still growing in that, is he is faithful. God is so faithful. And see, I heard these two quotes, and I believe they will impact you. "Worry is imagining your future without the goodness of God. Worry is meditating on how God is going to fail you." I'm going to say that again. Worry is meditating on how God is going to fail you. And so it's important to know that he is faithful. Hebrews 13:5 says this, and then I'm going to get on to my story. I have that teacher in me. I'm sorry. I love to do my testimony, but I like to do a little bit of other things here, and I love talking about God's love. But Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." And so when you know his love and faithfulness, that produces the fruit of peace and joy in your life. So as I share my story, I'm going to share some things that have helped me in my journey. But before I start, I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, "God loves you." Turn to your neighbor and say, "He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you." Amen. Isn't that good news that God's not mad at us? Don't you want the whole world to know that? Anyway, so I will start out with my childhood. And by the way, just so you know, some of the things that I'm talking about, you know, hurting people hurt others, and they just don't have a revelation of who they are in Christ and what is theirs. And we've all done it. And so my point is that there may be some things in here that I'm talking about that were harmful to me in my past that maybe you did. But there's nothing that God's grace did not take care of. There's no sin that was not taken care of by Jesus. And so there is grace for all of us in here. And there is healing for whatever it is we have done. The past is gone. It's done away with. There is no condemnation in Christ. There is love, grace, and mercy. So I just want to say that. And this is my story as well. Some of you have different stories, and you know, but this is my journey. So my parents, my mom got pregnant with me, and you know, out of wedlock, but the thing is, my dad didn't want to have kids. But when he found out that my mom was pregnant, they ended up getting married, thinking that was the right thing to do, and yet it was a household full of strife. They did not love each other. And so there were drugs in the home and just chaos and strife. And eventually my parents decided to get divorced when I think I was about 7 years old. I have kind of blocked that out. But I grew up with, you know, just feeling like I was a burden and feeling like I wasn't wanted. And I endured verbal, physical, and sexual abuse. And the sexual abuse was by more than one person. And so when you're a young child and you experience these things, you start to write negative heart messages on your heart. Like, I'm a burden. I'm unworthy. People don't like me. You know, why am I here? And that can carry on into your adulthood until you understand who you are in Christ. But I do believe that stuff can come in as lies and deception when we are young. And so I had that, you know, feeling of rejection and abandonment carry through with me for years, which you will hear about. But I believe that I was unlovable. I needed to perform to earn love. I believed that love was abusive. See, some of us, when we have gone through this, we don't have a real sense of what real love is until we encounter Jesus. I believe I deserved the abuse I received. I believed I would always be rejected. I believed if people really got to know me, they wouldn't love me. And so carrying that stuff as a child and not being able to express yourself, because I would get in trouble. My dad used fear as a tactic to make us obey, and I'm talking extreme fear. So I grew up with this, you know, walking on eggshells my whole life, and so I started self-injuring as a child. And I remember, you know, I found one of my dad's razor blades, and I was about, I don't know how old I was, maybe 8 years old. And I just started cutting my leg. And, you know, as a child, when you hurt yourself, you usually stop. But I didn't stop. And I just saw the blood flow. And then I stopped and was afraid my dad would find me. And he did find me, and he was mad. But I don't even know what happened after that. I blocked it out. And then one time I was playing in the field with some kids across the street from our apartment complex. We used to play hide and seek in a field, and I tripped and hit my ankle on a rock, and nobody was around me, but I just remember thinking, looking at my ankle, and it hurt, but I thought, this isn't bad enough. So I just bashed my ankle against this rock over and over and over again, and the kids had to help me home. And I remember showing my dad my ankle, and he just looked at me and he said, you know, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And I just remember secretly going into the bathroom and bashing my ankle over and over again against the bathtub. And then eventually it was so swollen that my dad had to take me to the hospital, and I had crutches. But I was just crying out. I did not know what to do with all of that pain. And I also felt like I was a bad person, so I needed to punish myself. So I was self-injuring as a kid. And I want to say, too, that when my parents got divorced, step-parents came into the picture, and that my step-parents could not stand me. They were picking on me. I did not feel safe in either house I was in. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And so it was just, it was torment for many years. But, you know, it's interesting. My verbally and physically abusive stepfather led us to Christ. And he took us to church. And I remember just feeling such joy in church. And I saw supernatural miracles happen. And it was amazing. And I just remember feeling so much joy in church with the praise and worship and then going home and feeling depressed. But I received Jesus at about age 10. And I just remember weeping because what happened was, and I didn't cry. I blocked everything out. Holy Spirit was touching me. I was becoming a new creation, but I didn't know what belonged to me. So as a little girl, I was on fire for the Lord. I loved going to church. And you know what? I felt safe at church. I had, you know, safe adults come up and hug me. And I just, God was using that to draw me to himself. But unfortunately, at the age of 15, I found alcohol. And I became a binge drinking alcoholic from that moment on. I just remember that it was a temporary release for all the pain that I was feeling. And so I kind of walked away from the Lord. And I'm sure I was ashamed, you know, for that. And I was feeling condemned and I was hiding from God is what I was doing. But how many of you know he never left me? He never leaves us or forsakes us. He was with me every moment. So I was actually very athletic in school. Here's where I'm going to throw in my humor. I was a huge part of the track team. I finished eighth in the state in the 100 meters in the state of Michigan my senior year. I found out last year that the record that I did, I broke the record for the 100 meter dash 24 years later. It's still up there, believe it or not. And it's so, you know, I just joke around. I just wanted to run away from everything. But I just praise the Lord that I was involved in athletics and God sent a father figure in my track coach to me who just really kind of poured out love and encouragement to me. And it was awesome. And unfortunately, when I graduated from high school, I was devastated to leave him. But, you know, God can just really continue to pursue you and put different things in your path. But I got a track scholarship. That's the way I could go to college. And I met my husband. And I just remember crying out to God as a little girl that I wanted to meet the right man. And I believe at the time I just wanted to get out of my house is really what I wanted to do. But God answered that prayer, and I met my husband in college, and he was from France. And if you've seen the Andrew Womack video, you can hear his accent. And so I remember he was concerned with my drinking. And by the way, I just want to go back. My dad came to my track meets, and I got love from winning. And so that kind of carried in to my relationship with the Lord in some ways. I had to be set free from that because sometimes we can have that mindset of we have to earn his approval and we get it when we do everything perfectly. And so I just want to set anyone free here from perfectionism right now in Jesus' name. That's got to go because God loves us no matter what. And we don't have to earn his love. We don't have to earn anything from him. It's all a gift freely given. But my husband was concerned with my drinking, and I actually was like, well, you're the one with the problem because we're in college, and you're the one that's not drinking, you know, at the time. You know, and it was my mindset. And you're from France, the country of wine. Why aren't you drinking? Anyway, whatever. I had a long way to go. And so we did get married, and we had three beautiful children. And I started to calm down with the drinking because I loved him. And But what happened was after the birth of my third child, my life started falling apart. All the stuff that I had stuffed in was just starting to come out. And I was having flashbacks of sexual abuse of the age I was when my daughter was that age as well. And so I started drinking heavily to just numb that pain, you know, not believing, being a parent myself and just realizing what had been done to me. So I started drinking to escape the emotional pain. And I never sat down. I mean, I was constantly, you know, painting walls in the house, and my husband would come home and the walls were different colors, and I just couldn't be alone. I could not be by myself, because if I was by myself, my mind was tormented. And I didn't know what to do with all of that. And so one day, I decided that I need to talk to my pastor's wife about the drinking, because I knew that she was a recovering alcoholic. And so I went to her in private and I told her what was going on. And she said, "Well, I believe you're an alcoholic. Let's dump everything out." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever. I'm an alcoholic. That's fine. You know, I'll just deal with that. Let's just pour everything out." And we poured everything out. And the very next day, I started having like the shakes, and this pain, this emotional pain was just coming up, and I didn't know what to do with it. And so I just continually would relapse after relapse after relapse, not knowing how to be free. And what happened was, I didn't know how to live life without escaping. And so what happened was I started experiencing suicidal thinking, because I just, you know, I would hear these voices of, you know, your kids would be better off without you. You know, you're an alcoholic, and that, you know, what people think about that, and they're better off with you, and you're so tormented, and you should just kill yourself. And I didn't know what to do with any of that. And so one day I just took a butcher knife in the kitchen and just started cutting myself all over. And then I was admitted to the psych ward for the very first time. And it was about a year and a half later that I was diagnosed with. And I will just say this too. I felt so much shame and guilt. You know, word got out in my neighborhood about all of this, and people started treating me different. And so that just made things worse in my mind. I didn't know what to do with it. But about a year and a half later, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, borderline personality disorder. I had panic attacks, anxiety disorder, ADD. I was a self-injurer, an alcoholic, and I developed a binge eating disorder. And all of those, and I tried to become bulimic, but praise the Lord, that was one less thing I had to deal with. But that's how much bondage I was in. And all of those labels became my new identity. I got a second opinion, because I did not like the diagnosis of bipolar disorder. And my well-respected Christian psychiatrist looked at me and said, "You are a classic bipolar case." And so I was diagnosed bipolar by about 3 or 4 different psychiatrists. And I was put on about 7 different medications, mood stabilizers, antipsychotics, antidepressants, ADD meds, sleeping meds, from time to time, the anti-anxiety meds, and they produced a whole bunch of side effects as well. So I was constantly calling my psychiatrist and constantly tormented. And so what happened was I kept going to different programs. I went to rehab for alcoholism. I went to outpatient programs for depression and the bipolar. I was in the psych wards. I was always doing something for it. And I didn't know how to be well. I will tell you this, you know, when I was in the psych wards, I would go away and read the word because I knew I went to a church that didn't talk about healing or the enemy or anything like that. But I just knew that God was my only hope. And so I would cry myself to sleep, hugging my Bible like a stuffed animal, feeling so much shame and guilt for being away from my kids who were my everything and my husband and just not knowing how to be well. And I just remember one time I went to a chapel service and they were playing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I was crying my eyes out. But even though I haven't gotten to the good part yet, I can stand before you right now and say, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But see, I thought all of this was my cross to bear. You know, they tell you that if you're bipolar, it's normal for you to have suicidal thinking. But it's not normal. Because, well, I'm getting ahead. But John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us an abundant life. So that doesn't make sense. But that's what I was used to thinking. I was told they were incurable. And all they could do was manage me with medication for the rest of my life. And just to share a little bit about how bad it got before I get into the awesome part. And you know what? I have to have notes partly because who I'm talking about is so far gone from me now. Praise the Lord that I forget. Sometimes it's like I don't forget because I don't want to forget what God has delivered me out of. But I honestly continue to forget in some ways. And that person is so far removed from me now. Praise the Lord. But I remember one time I was, you know, I got a razor blade out and just wrote, I hate me in 2-inch block letters on my stomach. Because that's how I felt about myself. I hated myself. I had to try to hide the self-injury from people, you know, especially when my neighbors and that kind of thing. But I do remember going to a massage therapist because I had so much back pain. And she saw some things on me and actually questioned me at one time if I had domestic abuse in the home. And I got scared at that moment. And no, my husband has, I praise the Lord, I married a very good man. I thank the Lord all the time for him. But I got scared. And so people were starting to notice on that the marks on me. And I carried razors and pills in my purse just in case I wanted to commit suicide. One time I was addicted to cutting my wrists. And I cut my wrist one time and had to go to the ER to get stitches. And I just remember being in the emergency room, flowing with blood, had to go have them, you know, come and give me more bandages. And I had to tell them that I did it to myself. And there's so much shame and humiliation that comes with that. And I just didn't know how to be well. I had too many relapses to count. The self-injury progressed to burning myself with an iron, throwing myself down the stairs to try to break bones, sniffing chemicals in the garage. I thought, if this is the way I have to live for the rest of my life, the 2 weeks of peace I have in between all of this is just not worth it. I can't live like this. If this is my cross to bear, I don't want it. I can't do it. I researched whether or not Christians who committed suicide went to heaven. And at the time, I couldn't find the answer. And I think that's what prevented me from doing it, to be honest with you. Well, praise God, I know the answer. They are totally there. But I didn't know at the time. And they are free. But one time I was, you know, away for 5 months from my family. And it was just, it was so difficult. And I just remember my husband, he didn't really know what to do. And he came to visit me with the kids in the halfway house I was in. And my son, who was very young at the time, just looked at me when they had to leave. And he just said, "Are you still sick?" And it just broke my heart. And I wanted to just commit suicide all over again because of the shame and guilt and condemnation and not knowing how to be free. I would dig pills out of my garbage. I would throw them in the garbage so I wouldn't be tempted to take them. And one time my neighbors drove by and I'm digging in the garbage for the pills. I mean, it's just all this stuff that, you know, you realize you have a problem. But my mind was so tormented and not at peace that I just wanted to die. And I have to tell you, you know, I had a wonderful husband, 3 kids. I mean, we had no financial worries. And I'm here to tell you, none of that stuff can fill the void that only God can fill. Only God can fill that void. And so now I'm going to shift gears. One time when I was self-injuring and watching the blood flow, I heard the voice of the Lord talking to me. And this was actually at a time when I didn't really even know a whole lot about God speaking to me, but I heard him clearly say to me, "You don't have to do that anymore because my son shed his blood for you." And I just remember that moment impacted me because here I was sinning and God was pursuing me with his passionate love. See, I kind of was taught you have to have everything all together before you go to God, and I never had it all together. But here he was pursuing me. And see, I was punishing myself for my sins, for being a failure. I thought I was a failure to everyone. Being a failure became my identity of failing God, failing my family, failing myself. But God was trying to tell me that, you know, Jesus took all of our sins upon himself and gave us the gift of righteousness. And I understand that this is a church where you hear that. And a lot of places I go in, they're actually hearing it for the first time. But I still need to be reminded of that fact, that awesome gift of God, that we are righteous based on our faith in Jesus Christ, not by any works or performance that we do. And so, you know, when I tell some churches, I know it won't shock you, but some churches that I was righteous even while I was cutting myself, that's the truth. Because righteousness is not based on performance. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God." And I learned that God is not mad at us. And, you know, I thought God was, you know, like my British grandmother, whenever we would jump on the bed when we spent the night at her house, she'd take her wooden spoon out and whack us. And I thought God was like that. You know, every time I fail, whack, you know, something bad's going to happen because it was all based on me and my performance. Nobody can live like that. That produces a lack of peace. And I just believe that if there is some area in our lives that we are lacking peace. 2 Peter, I believe it's 5:1-9, says it's because we've forgotten that we were cleansed from our sins. But Jesus actually removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and that is such good news. Hebrews 8:12, one of my favorite verses, "And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." And so God was trying to tell me that his love and acceptance was not based on my behavior. And you know, we sometimes have earthly consequences for what we do. And I had those. But as far as God is concerned, he has taken care of the sin issue. And see, the thing is, once we have a revelation of that and we know that, we don't want to go out and sin, because right believing leads to right living. God wanted me to stop hiding from him. I think we do that subconsciously. Even in all the teaching that I've gotten about the grace of God, going to Charis Bible College for 3 years, every once in a while, I have to still remind myself, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We have to continually remind ourselves of that truth. Because if not, I see that I sometimes am hiding from him, then I'll get a revelation of that. Wait a minute. No, I'm not going to do that. And it can be subconscious. See, if there's someone in your life and you believe that they're mad at you or they're disappointed in you, you kind of want to avoid them. At least I do. And so we do that with God. When he doesn't want us to hide, he wants us to go to him in our time of need and go boldly to his throne of grace, not in shame. Hebrews 10:22-25 says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. He has, you know, I'm a visual person, so I'm just going to say two things here. But you know, this is garbage in here. This is basically represents our sin. And this is represents the blood of Jesus and that old covenant mentality that we hear that our sins are covered by the blood. But praise the Lord, what Jesus did was completely purge us. So he doesn't even see us with any of that. We are completely clean, holy, blameless, spotless, before him. We don't have to hide from him. He's the answer. And I think about, you know, I've heard this. Bob George has a really good book called Classic Christianity. And if any of you can, you know that you have to sterilize the jar before you can fill it. And then you seal it. And Jesus came and purged our sin, so that he could come and live in us, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So back to my testimony. After years of self-injury, relapses, bondage, psych wards, tons of changes in medications, you name it, I was invited to a Christian recovery program, and I met some women there. And one of the women was actually a psychiatric nurse, and I was really happy about that because I decided I could tell her, you know, I was diagnosed with this and this and this and this and this, and it's incurable. And so I did that. And one day she wrote to me and she said, you know, with God, all things are possible. And she said, what you're dealing with is the enemy who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And I got a revelation right there that as a child of God, I don't have to take that anymore. We don't have to take that anymore. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? From that moment, I believe, you know what? I had some demons that were harassing me, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't even matter. But I'll tell you, the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And what happened was I got that revelation that as a child of God, I don't have to take it anymore. Demons left. Nobody laid hands on me, nothing. You can have that. But they just left, because when you have a revelation of the truth, there's no stopping you. So what happened was I replaced all those labels with child of God, and I have never, ever, 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 9 years later, spoken those labels over myself ever, ever again. You know, and all these, I started filling myself with the Word of God about healing and authority and all these scriptures that I didn't know were in the Bible. And I came to know God as my Father. He was a good daddy. And despite them saying that it was incurable, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus revealed the Father. That's what our good Father does. And that's what Jesus already provided for us. First Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour." And he devours those who don't know their identity. But I heard a speaker say this. I can't take credit for it. I wish I could. But she says, take yourself off the menu. If he comes to seek who he can devour, take yourself off the menu. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm taking myself off the menu. So, you know, the deal is that hell has an agenda for us to believe lies. Hell's agenda wants us to stay in self-pity, fear of rejection, self-hatred, bitterness, you name it. And I do believe that there is a renewing of the mind that needs to take place when those thoughts come in. But we have to get to the place of knowing so much that we are God's beloved, that when any voice comes in that is contrary to who you are in Christ, that you just say, no, I'm not going to entertain that thought. And you know what? Even Jesus was tempted. Every negative thought Jesus was tempted with. He was tempted in every way. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was tempted to quit. Have you been tempted to quit? But it says that he poured his heart out to his Father, and he depended on his Father. And so we can go to God honestly and pour our hearts out to him, but he is the answer, and he will love on you, and he will tell you who you are. But we have the choice of whether or not to entertain those thoughts. Those thoughts will come. And you know what? Sometimes some of us, I know for myself, I feel condemnation for thoughts that come. That's another tactic of the enemy. Thoughts will come. But it's what we do with them that matters. And we can say no. And we can remind ourselves that we are the beloved of God. And, you know, we fail. We all fail and fall short. But I don't want to take in that identity that I'm a failure because I fail. And the list goes on. And so I believe that a lot of the confusion that happens in our minds is, why is this happening to me? You know what? Jesus said that we would have trials. If you're having a trial, why? I mean, Jesus said we would have, we don't have to sit here and ask, why is this happening to me? Why is this? Because that causes mind torment. We just go back to Jesus said we would have trials, but he overcame the world and he overcame whatever it is you are dealing with. And go back to that. I mean, we could sit here and literally drive ourselves crazy with all these thoughts of, I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know why this person said this about me. I don't know why this. I don't know why that. Just go back to your Father and just remind yourself, no, I am loved, I am accepted, I am forgiven, I am safe. Doesn't matter what anyone says about me, God loves me, and I will people may reject me, but you know what? God is so good. It's not happening to me. It's happening for me because you are so good, God, and you are faithful. And if you want this person back in my life, you'll bring that person back in my life because you are the God of restoration and the God of the impossible. And I've seen miraculous restoration in my life. And I just believe that you are going to, some of you in here are about to experience miraculous restoration with relationships in your lives. But just going back and saying, I am loved. I love you, Father. I trust you. You got it. That will eliminate a lot of the lack of peace that can come on us. So when anxiety tries to come at your mind, say no and remind yourself you are loved, you are safe, and you are secure. But I also want to tell you, give yourself grace in this renewal of the mind process. God has so much love and compassion on you. He understands that some of you may have mind strongholds that came in based on horrific things that happened to you. And he loves you. And he doesn't condemn you for that. He knows what the root is. And he loves you. And he is the way to freedom in those areas. And he wants you to walk in freedom and wholeness. And he will show you whatever lies are preventing you from walking in the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ. He will show you. Just ask him, but give yourself grace. We are sometimes our worst enemies, you know, and the enemy will come and he will accuse you of all you are not. But God will tell you all that you are in him. Give yourself grace in your journey because we are always in a process of God perfecting us in his love. Why don't you say out loud if you feel led, I am believing what God says about me. And this is what God says about us. Song of Solomon 4:7. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Do you believe that? Thank you, Jesus. So say no to all those negative voices of condemnation, guilt, and shame. And remember that you are completely forgiven and righteous. And when you know that, and you know that Jesus overcame whatever it is, anything that you're struggling with, you will go to him. And you won't want to sin. I love what Andrew says. You'll become more holy on accident than you ever could on purpose when you know who you are in Christ. But the battle is in the mind, I believe. And that's why Romans 12:2, renewing the mind, is so huge. And just want to share with you, and I'm starting to close up here, but a couple of years ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, I had a baby girl. And I just remember naming this baby girl Victoria. And I was feeding the baby a bottle. And at first, when I woke up, I was like, praise the Lord, this is a dream. Because I didn't plan on having anymore. Anyway, whatever. Just throw my humor in. I have three beautiful, wonderful kids. But I looked up the word Victoria, and it means victory. And God was saying, feed on those thoughts of victory. Whatever thoughts that you feed will grow. And that was a powerful, powerful dream. And so the fruit of condemnation is depression, distrust, lack of peace, jealousy, self-pity, anger. I just believe a lot of stuff of when we don't know who we are. I believe that we need the Word of God. Romans 4:20-22. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. So we have to be active in the Word of God and find those words that are healing and health to all their flesh. So part of what I had to do was I had to get into the Word and see, what does God say about me? What is mine as a child of God? And that was part of my healing journey as well. And so I'm here to tell you that I have been medication free for over 9 years. And I went to my psychiatrist after 6 months the first time, and I said, I want you to document my healing. And he looked at me and he's like, he told me he didn't know of anybody that was healed of bipolar disorder. Well, praise the Lord, I know of people now. But he didn't want to document my healing. So I'm like, okay, you know, he's like, do you have this? No. Do you have this? No. Do you have this? No. And I left. I went back a year later and I said, yep, still off all the meds. And he's like, do you have this? No. Do you have this? No. I want you to document my healing. He looked at me like he didn't know what to do with me. You know, he knew what to do with me when I was tormented, but he didn't know what to do with me. And he is a great guy, by the way. But anyway, he just didn't know, you know, and, you know, it saddens me because he was a Christian psychiatrist and the Word says you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Healing is all over the Word. So why is it so difficult to see that Jesus took care of it on the cross? Thank you, Jesus. I went to him 2 years later, and he finally documented my healing. Thank you, Jesus. Partly to get away from me. No, I'm kidding. But he documented my healing, praise the Lord, and I forgot to bring it with me. But I was, you know, it was in the way that he could say it, you know, still not believing that anybody, he's like, you know, it can come back 20 years from now. And this is what I want to tell you. This is what I want to say this. I got that revelation. The Holy Spirit gave it to me about, as a child of God, I don't have to take it anymore, and that Jesus took my healing. It didn't matter if 50 psychiatrists told me at that moment, you know, it could come back, you're so bipolar. I was like, no, I'm not. I knew I was healed. I knew that I knew that I knew, and I chose to believe the Word of God over the doctors. And we can do that because there's so much in the world that's, you know, anyway, you already know that. And so I just want to tell you, don't ever give up on healing. That is yours in Christ. It's yours in every area of your life. Don't give up hope on your loved ones that you think they're too far gone. I'll tell you right now, my best friend at the time dreamt that she came to my funeral, and people were starting to kind of give up on me. They didn't know what to do. They just didn't know what to do. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's a miracle that I'm standing before you today, because I used to walk like this constantly in shame. I would walk with my head down with shame and guilt. And for me to be able to stand up and talk to you is a miracle. It's the power of God. And so I'm just grateful, and I'm here to tell you, God is the God of the impossible. No matter what you are facing, and he's the God of opposites. You know, nobody listened to me when I was in the psych ward and all of this. You know, they were just like, you know, whatever. Now God is using me to write, you know, love letter books of his love and grace, and I'm speaking to you. He's the God of opposites. He confounds the wise. And so I'm just grateful to him for what he did in my life, because I didn't know that I could be set free. And I'm grateful that you go to a church where you hear about freedom and healing and righteousness. And some of this is, you know, you've heard before. But don't stop growing in that. And don't think that you've already heard it all the time. Keep hearing it. You are so blessed to hear the good news. There aren't that many churches around, unfortunately, that are preaching the good news yet. They're starting to grow. And so you are so, so blessed. And I'm just going to, you know, end with this. And then we can do a time of ministry for any who would like that. But I just want to share with you. And, you know, I'm just a simple girl with a simple message. I just like to encourage people that you can get to the other side with Jesus. God loves you. He's amazing. You know, there you go. That's what I love to do. But I will tell you that our biggest destiny in life is intimate relationship with God. He just wants relationship with us. That's what he wants. And then out of that relationship, we go out and change the world like we talked about. It's out of relationship. And he just wants to speak to our hearts in the everyday details of our lives. And I can tell you that the biggest healing in my life has been coming to know God as my heavenly daddy, because I don't have an earthly father. He totally abandoned us, rejected us. He's not in my life, and I just pray that he finds the Lord. I pray that he is saved. But God is the only perfect parent. I was not a perfect parent. None of us are perfect parents. God is the only perfect parent. And if you still feel like you have some kind of broken heart over an earthly parent wound, a father or a mother, I would love to pray for you and just get rid of that today and just move on with it. And I want to pray for you to get a deeper revelation of God as your father. And I'm still growing in that every day. But just know that you can go to your daddy and he will love on you. He will give you wisdom for any situation you're facing. He will take care of you. He will defend you. He will show you that you are loved and accepted. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest healing in my life. That's what I can tell you. So I want to end with this verse. Jeremiah 31:3 of the Message Bible. Why don't you just close your eyes and receive these words from the Father? I've never quit loving you and never will. Expect love, love, and more love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that, Holy Spirit, I just believe that you are going deep and you will continue to go deep in the people's hearts here, even while they sleep tonight, Lord. I thank you that you are healing any broken hearts that are in here, because you've already given us a new heart. It's already ours in the Spirit. And I just thank you that you are replacing negative strongholds with strongholds of who you are and who they are. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for if we're tempted to entertain those old negative thoughts of anything, self-pity, rejection from others, abandonment, that you will remind us that those are all lies and we can choose to believe what you say about us in the Word of God. So I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this body. I thank you for the opportunity to come and share what you've done in my life. And I just declare and decree, if there's anybody in here that is experiencing anything that I have been delivered of, that Jesus set us free from, or your loved ones are, we just decree healing over them in Jesus' name. Healing over minds right now in Jesus' name. All confusion to get out in the name of Jesus. I thank you for healing. Lord, you are the healer. Anything physical healing. You did the whole package deal, emotional and physical healing. We just command healing to manifest in these bodies in Jesus' name. That is our inheritance as children of God. So I just thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you would like, you know, me to agree with you in prayer for something, I'm available. I just wanted to share that with you. But thank you so much for coming and making me feel welcomed, and you guys are a blessing.